And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I want to ask you a question which seems a little abstract, but I think it's about something that the Republicans throughout the country are making not abstract. They're making it a current question. Are we living in a democracy or in a republic? That's my question. What do you think? You've studied this question. Do you think it matters? I mean, what do you think the whole point of that question is?
Well, the answer is yes.
Good. Okay. I'm glad we have an affirmative answer. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
You will recall that at the end of the Constitutional Convention, which was held pretty much in secret because they did what they weren't supposed to do. They were supposed to modify the Articles of Confederation, and the first thing they did is they tore it up.
Right.
And came up and devised a whole new system of governance.
Are you saying it's neither a democracy nor a republic, but a conspiracy?
No. there was a conspiracy at the beginning, let's put it to you that way. However, one of the citizens of Philadelphia confronted Benjamin Franklin as he came out of what we now call Independence Hall, and said, asked him, what have you given us? And Franklin's famous retort to that was, a republic if you can keep it. Now, it's interesting, and I've actually written this. The Constitution provides for no specifics in terms of how that republic is supposed to be run. I mean, there are certain things about electors and elections how it's going to be done, but how these people actually get chosen, the word democracy doesn't appear there. And of course, economically, there is no economic form of government. Capitalism doesn't appear there. Certainly not communism, because there was no communism, not socialism. Whatever,
there was barely capitalism.
Well, yeah. I mean, Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations in 1776, right. The same year as the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
We've been functioning on a set of norms that were implicit and in some ways explicit as to how we choose our government and how the government how things are supposed to operate. What the founders did was, because of their experience with the tyrannical King George, was to create this split of government into three sections, and to try to prevent any one from gaining, I guess you'd call it kingly powers there, and also to protect certain rights of the people. What they'd never envisioned as happening was you would wind up with minority rule. In other words, you weren't protecting minorities. You were actually, the minorities weren't being need protection. What the majorities may need protection, and of course, it's always a balancing act, because majorities can do certain things that are inimical to the well-being of the people, and when minorities get to do that as well, you can have inimical results. You need people who are of goodwill to run these things. What we've run short of is people of goodwill in these things. They they no longer want to debate. They no longer want to argue. They no longer want to accept setbacks or defeat. They just want pure power, which, of course, now you're back into tyranny, this kind of thing. And there's a lot of different ways that they've been coming at this. You use the term republic or democracy. The term now is being used, a republican form of government or republic, in order to delegitimize both the Democratic Party, or as they call it, the Democrat Party, and democracy itself. The Eastman memo was probably the most explicit outline of this, where in essence what they want to do is use state legislatures to usurp the power of the electorate, of the people, and say, we get to choose everything. Now, don't forget, in the original Constitution, the legislatures had the right to pick the United States Senate. That was thought to be a check and a balance in some reform, in some not reform, but some means. And then, we have the 17th Amendment. And that's, we've seen efforts to try to repeal that. They want to repeal the right of the people to vote on their elected representatives. One of the reasons for that, of course, is that senators are elected statewide, and you can't gerrymander statewide.
Except that the states are a gerrymander to begin with. Any system which gives Wyoming with 600,000 people the same number of representatives as California with 40 million people is a gerrymandered system.
It is a gerrymandered system. And I don't think that the founders were able to conceptualize. They were dealing with 13 colonies. They weren't dealing with this continental-wide 50 state
system.
Well,
but the main thing they were dealing with was the need to preserve slavery. Well, and don't forget that the political weight at the time of the writing of the Constitution was held by the slave owners.
South. Yeah. It was held in the South.
Yeah, and in the South it was slave owners, not non-slave owners, who controlled the power. So most of what you can find that's anti-democratic in the Constitution comes directly from the need to protect slavery. And they made no bones about it. The Three-Fifths Compromise, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that we hear from Republicans, Libertarians, the politics of that side, is the protection of property over people. Even though the Constitution, the first three words are "We the People," and the Declaration of Independence talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what you hear is life, liberty, and property. In the Fifth Amendment, you should not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Of course, back in the colonial days and up through the Civil War, property included people. People were property.
And we, the people, didn't include women.
That's correct.
And citizenship didn't include white men who didn't have property.
Right. Right. So
it's a very narrow form of the definition of citizenship. But the reason I think that the people like Doug Mastriano are making this point today, and the people in the Republicans in Arizona and Republicans everywhere are making this point today, is because fundamentally they want to wipe out elections. They want to wipe out, they want to be able to say that when they take power, they have the right to determine who succeeds them. And voting doesn't count. Democracy is dangerous because people are ignorant. That's their argument. And they don't make any bones about it. This guy Masters, who's running for Senate on the Republican ticket in Arizona, that's part of his stump speech.
Yeah. Let me just go back one second, and I want to amplify what you said. Over the course of the 200 and now we're getting close to 50 years of our nation. Rights and things have evolved primarily in one direction. We've expanded the rights to vote. We've expanded the way the government responds to the will of the people. And these folks want to take that back. They're in a contraction mode, very much.
Well, I think it's fair to say that the current Republican Party is a collection of people and ideas who represent everything that was defeated in American history because it was bad. And all of those bad movements and all of those bad anti-people ideas are collected and rule and are the policy of the current Republican Party. It is a party not only of backwardness, but of defeated brutality. And when they say make America great again, what they mean is go back to feudalism.
Yeah, pretty much you're on your own. I was telling you before we started the show, I was reading an article about not President James Buchanan, but economist James Buchanan, who's featured, and we bring it up again in Nancy McLean's book, Democracy in Chains, and his worldview of things. It was an idea, and her book was about the fact that his worldview could never achieve acceptance under a true democratic system.
Which he admitted. And which the Koch brothers admit. They don't make any bones about it. They say you can't have democracy because people will vote against the interests of the elite.
Right. And the rich. And yeah. the whole purpose of this movement has become to go against the will of the people and to serve this small group. You know, you talk about the right to vote. You know, Bill Buckley was not a person who was for universal voting rights. You know, he thought the elites should be the ones voting.
Founder of National Review.
Yeah. We had a few years back that business head who said that, the right to vote should be based on your wealth. If you're a millionaire, you get a million votes. You know, that kind of thing. I forget who it was that said that, but now you talk about Blake Masters in Arizona. He's the tool of Peter Thiel, who is one of these multi millionaire billionaire types who don't trust or don't want democracy.
But there's a nationwide movement. It exists not only in Peter Thiel's living room. The Republican Party of Pennsylvania have a standard bearer who's running on the platform of restricting democracy, of ending public education, of turning this into a theocratic state, and so forth and so on. And this is exactly what the right-wing libertarians support.
Yeah, they're even beyond some of the libertarians stuff that you've heard. James Buchanan didn't even think Milton Friedman or Frederick Hayek was sufficient because they wanted to work within a system that had checks and balances, that had accountability built into it. And what they don't want is accountability. Now, it's also interesting, you mentioned Mastriano. He's going around and he will not allow the press into many of his meetings or his rallies. He only wants his press in there. He doesn't want to even have to confront questions that could, number one, that he can't really answer, and number two, that could undermine the movement because it draws into disrepute what they're really trying to say. So he's been going around on this underground, and he thinks that that the way to do it is what we've talked around is to get all of his voters out, that he's doubling, you know, that he's counting on getting everybody that thinks like him or that he can persuade like him to come out. And on the opposite side, they want to restrict the people who don't think like them. And so that's why they don't want broad-based voting to occur. They want to restrict the vote. Well, right now it's not working for Mastriano. You know, we've seen the polls past week that show that he's down by about 15 points and that Shapiro has reached the 50% mark. That could change. That could change. Question is whether the Republican Governors Association is going to put money into Mastriano's campaign. We know that this Commonwealth Foundation, which, as you mentioned, wants to destroy public education, is willing to do so, but whether that'll be enough. Mastriano himself hasn't been able to put any money into advertising. He hasn't raised a whole heck of a lot. That's one thing about his campaign, is that the people that he meets, his supporters, don't have a lot of money.
But the thing is, he doesn't need the advertising. That's not his strategy. As you pointed out, his strategy is mobilize the racist base of the Republican Party and try to keep everybody else from voting. And even if he doesn't succeed in Pennsylvania this time, that approach is going to succeed in many states next time, because the people who run the elections are the Mastriano clones. That's who's running for Secretary of State, who run the elections.
Well, and they've targeted places like Arizona and Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. You know, they're running into some pretty stiff headwinds. I don't know if you saw what happened in Wisconsin this week. You know, they had commissioned a former Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, a guy named Glaberman.
Yeah, to review the election again with an eye towards decertifying the vote.
Right.
That's already been taken. And lo and behold, they dismissed him. He spent about $1 million of taxpayer money and came up with nothing. And they're not happy that he came up with nothing. It's what Rudy Giuliani said. They have a lot of theories, but they don't have any evidence, because there's no evidence there.
But they don't need evidence. They just need assertions. They just need lies.
Look,
you pointed out last week that there's at least five states where the voting map was ruled illegal, and yet the election that's taking place is taking place in districts determined by those illegal voting maps. And that adds, in the Congress, something like 15 votes to the Republican Party that a legal map would not give them. How can you make that up? How can you compensate for that? The Democrats are struggling for a majority of five. Right away, 15 have been stolen.
It's difficult. They may not be able to.
Exactly.
You know, the Democrats...
Even if they mobilize everyone, it's irrelevant.
Yeah. We're just going to have to see on that. You know, but I want to get back to Mastriano, because what's happened, and tends to happen with Donald Trump, is that Republicans start falling in line. A lot of his opponents from the primary election are now supporting him. Now, how, or at least publicly, say they're supporting him. How deeply they're supporting him, we'll have to see on that.
And they're not opposing him. They're not telling people sit it out.
Right. There are a few that are saying that, but most of them have decided to make party over country.
Yeah, you know, down in Maryland, Larry Hogan couldn't run for re-election as governor.
Right.
And in the primary, the candidate that he backed was defeated by a Trumpist. Hogan isn't sitting back quietly. Hogan is saying this guy doesn't deserve to be governor. He's mentally unbalanced. He's politically insane. He shouldn't be appointed. He shouldn't get your votes. He's out there doing that. In Pennsylvania, the Republicans are not doing that about Mastriani, even when they opposed him.
Yeah. You know, and then Ron DeSantis came up from Florida this week to endorse Mastriano. Although he's had there's been a political cost to that down there. Florida, where the Jewish vote matters to some extent, people are not happy with that. Knowing what Mastriano, who he cast his money with, the guy from Gab, Andrew Torba, So we'll see.
But on the other hand, the Republican Jewish Coalition just had a meeting to support Oz. And you can't support Oz and not support Mastriani.
Well, we'll see. Oz is in trouble, too. He's been down by 18 points. But I just want to mention, you know, you talk about mentally unstable candidates. How about Carl Paladino up there in New York State?
Well, but he is known to be mentally unstable, but yeah. Beyond mentally unstable.
Yeah. And
just
the
to tell people, you know, Paladino called for the execution of his opponents.
Yeah, there's a guy named Jackson. I forget which state. I think it might be Arizona that's out there talking about murdering people. There was a time not long ago that this would have been so disqualifying. But again, we're back into this really, really bizarre political milieu on this. And of course, this week, one of the more bizarre things we saw was what happened to Liz Cheney. You know, she won with 70, she had 73% of the vote, or won by 73%, something like that, 2 years ago. And she just got slaughtered by, what, 37% or 40% of...
Right. More than 2 to 1.
I had thought last week she had, you know, some sort of an outside chance, or at least it would cut the margin, but it didn't even happen. The folks in Wyoming are just so so taken with this Trumpist idea.
Well, that's the point. You have to confront the fact that the Republican Party is a proto-fascist party. That's what they are. They're not what you may have imagined the party was when Dwight Eisenhower led it or anybody else led it. It is today a proto-fascist party.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Mastriano and education. In Pennsylvania, some of the leaders of in the rural counties, school leaders who are Republican, are worried about this. They said that Mastriano's plan would devastate their school districts.
Well, Mastriano's plan is to stop funding school districts through property taxes and only rely on whatever the state subsidies will be. And he proposes cutting the state subsidies from a current $19,000 on average per student to $9,000 on average per student, which, according to the teachers' union, would lead to doubling class sizes, firing 120,000 public school teachers and other public school employees, and wholesale elimination of sports, music, and art to begin with.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of young people that vote Republican. That's what they're going to vote for. That's what they're voting for. Do they realize that's what they're voting for? I don't think so. I haven't seen any Democrat point out that this is what Mastriani has in mind for you and your kids. Do you think people who are subjected to that kind of miseducation are going to find a place to work? That they're going to be equipped to work? Do you think going to religious school, the equivalent of cheders operated by the Orthodox, the equivalent of Sharia schools, do you think that fits you for the modern world? It fits you to become jihadist.
Well, just you mentioned all the job cuts. What that does to the economy of Pennsylvania.
Right.
You're talking about, if you're talking about 120,000 here or there, those are decent, those were decent paying jobs, but all the collaterals of that. These people are no longer going to be,
In the rural county, in the rural counties of Pennsylvania, the public school employees are, in the main, the largest block of employed people in the county.
Sure.
So you're looking at 42 counties where you're going to lay off the largest block of employed people.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's going to do great for restaurants, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
The little shop owners.
Yeah.
All those things. But those... people around those restaurants and little shops, they're going to vote for this.
They are going to vote for this because, well, among other things, if you don't mount a campaign to point this out, to talk about it, to show the danger, to mobilize against it, then you're leaving people on their own.
Yeah.
That's the responsibility, if not the Democrats, some other political group, but some leadership has to be there. Without leadership, you can't expect people to do anything. Humans don't operate that way. They need organization.
And they need good messaging.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's part of the organization, right?
Yeah. And
if ideas count, then there have to be organized attempts to promote ideas. It's just that simple.
Right. Correct. So. And the Republicans have that great machine, although Fox has been pulling away from Trump, but they haven't been pulling away from this neo or proto-fascism.
Right, but Fox is perfectly willing to support DeSantis, and DeSantis is a more extreme and possibly more intelligent Trump.
Well, intelligent doesn't take much.
No.
Extreme does. Extreme does, but DeSantis, yeah, as we said last week, suffered a blow with that FBI search because that just concentrated the Republicans to getting behind Trump.
Well, that's their problem. That's their problem.
Well, but that becomes our problem.
Too. Well, it doesn't become our problem if we point out that they're two peas in a pod. I mean, to make an analogy, maybe people don't know the history, so there's no analogy, but it's like in the 1930s, was there a difference between the leader of the brown shirts and the leader of the SS? Not really. But the leader of the SS killed the leader of the brown shirts and murdered all of his followers and did it legally. But did it matter? If the brown shirt guy had won, there wouldn't have been World War II. There wouldn't have been an attempt of genocide against people. Of course there would have been. They were united in that. They were just divided in what's the method for doing it that's most effective. And that's the same with these Republicans. They're not. DeSantis and Trump are not arguing about what to do. They're each vying for the honor of being in charge of doing it. They're both no good. It's the job of leftists, liberals, progressives, anti-fascists to point that out.
Not just on the left, people in the center.
That's true. They should. They should, but it's the job of the others. It's their responsibility.
You know, I've always had thought about the pendulum theory. If you're going to bring people back from the far right, you have to have a lot of pressure from not just the center, but it's got to be from the far left to bring towards the center, because halfway between the center and the far right is still right.
It's still right. And you're right on that. All right. Well,
there's some other things
we left a lot of details out, but it's important to take a step back and see what it all means, and that's what we did today, and I think that's important.
Yeah, and we're going to be seeing some more politicals. We have Biden's coming back to Pennsylvania. Donald Trump's coming to Luzerne County. George W. Bush is going to be in Lycoming County. It's difficult to think of the fact that we're almost longing for the days of the likes of George W. Bush or Dick Cheney.
Good Christ.
That's how bad things have gotten.
Yep. All right. We'll review things again next week. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.